Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio. This is Bénédicte Pro, and today we're talking to Daniel Schmidt and Gabriel Abrantes about Diamantino, presented at the Critics Week here at the 71st Cannes Film Festival. Hi, guys.
Hello, hello.
Diamantino is an utterly, fantastically imaginative film, and yet it's interestingly realistic. Gabriel?
Yeah, I think we wanted to talk a lot about what's happening in the world right now. And I think we wanted to play with it. And we like films that are fun and entertaining and comic and parodies or satires. But I think what actually ends up being scary about the film is that it's very close to reality in some parts. Like the propaganda campaign ad that's in the film, we modeled shot by shot on a real Brexit ad.
Daniel?
And the interviewer, Giselle, who was in the film, really, like, she was actually a famous, or maybe still is, famous TV host in Portugal. And so she brought this, like, complete realism, but also the kind of interview that she's doing, which we modeled off Oprah and Barbara Walters, this sort of, like, yes or no, you must answer the question. It's so absurd, but it's also
real.
One of the more real things in the film. So, yeah, we were very interested in playing. All of our films are hyper excited by fantasy and artifice, and how that can also sort of pervert or play with the problems of today or look at them in a different way. But then the problems of today are already, it's hard to make, like people who talk about Trump, they're like, it's hard to make comedy about it. It's already so surreal and absurd, like to figure out something even wilder. So there's
a lot
tension
of the things
there.
Yeah. Are based on reality. Like there was government doping during the Olympics where. The state is changing the bodies of their athletes to try to win for a nationalist cause, you know? So there's a lot of real inspiration for the film, but yeah, the film is a bit crazy.
You're both known for your very creative way of mixing genres and producing hybrid projects, separately and together, because this is not your first project together. How do your universes complement each other? Gabriel?
The secret is that nothing comes from anybody. It's basically like a ping pong game. Like one person has an idea and starts the round and the other one throws back some ideas and vice versa. The next round you change and it's Daniel throwing the ideas and I try to hit the ball back. But what I really appreciate, Daniel and I started working together in 2009 with A History of Mutual Respect, which is a short film, which it was just, I had bought a 16mm camera and learned how to load the film. And we did a very small film together, and that collaborative process through that, we didn't know each other too well at that first point, and now we know each other very well, we're best friends, and we share a lot of the same references. But the most beautiful part, I think, of working with Daniel is just he pushes me to take risks, something I would be very nervous to do by myself. He's like, no, we've got to do it. And so that gives you some confidence.
Yeah. Can you give an example?
The puppies is a good example. Like in the film, we have these big, huge puppies, which we were trying to think of how can we symbolize or show like the brilliance, but that's naive and silly and cute, but also profound of the sports star's interior mind. And I was like, what if we just do puppies, huge puppies that he's playing with? And I thought it was too silly, I thought it was too stupid, and that we weren't going to do it, and that he was going to say it was stupid and say no. And Daniel's like, no, that's so funny, let's do it.
But he did want piglets.
Yeah, he wanted piglets.
For the next one.
Yeah, for the next one.
The scary part of this rather funny movie is that it represents civilization pushed to its absurd extremes, and parallel to that discourse, it seems to be a call for a return to primitivity, or at least a certain virginity, a discourse associated with a certain representation also of nature.
I think there's a part of that. It begins with innocence for Tino's character. I think that his innocence and the way that it contrasts with the abject lack of innocence for the rest of the world and all the machinations and conspiracies around him and the way he's being abused, he makes for a very beautiful and interesting foil to these crises, which is just like he doesn't know anything, so he's very innocent. But I think naivete only takes you so far, and I think what really maybe makes him be a hero or sort of could be some takeaway from the film is that that naivete leads towards a sort of fragility and openness and tenderness and humanness that I think would be great if society could look to that a little bit more. So it's not so much about ignoring or not knowing about the crises of today, but it's about having a fresh perspective where you're open to things, and whether it be adopting a child or participating in some sort of violent right-wing ad campaign or being abused or having your body change and your gender change. It's like, if you're coming without the preconceived notions of like us and them, my team, this team, there's maybe more possibility for...
I think what we...
Gabriel?
What we thought was beautiful about Dimantino's character is that he has no preconceived notions. He is an empty slate, so he comes at all of these issues open and with an open heart. I think in a way we wanted to make like a modern day Candide. So a film that talked about the world in 2018, but where the character is shocked to confront all everything that's happening because he is so innocent. But I think what's beautiful is that he's Dimantino. He accepts ambiguity. For me, the most political part of the film is the last shot when he's on the beach with Aisha, and he has his new body. He's changing gender, and he's had trouble dealing with this. It made him worried and sad, and you see that in the film, but also then he totally embraces it.
Absolutely. About embracing, when you was it hard to find a producer that would embrace your crazy ideas?
No, we were very lucky. All three producers from Brazil, Syndrome, from Portugal, Maria e Meyer, and from France, Les Films de Bellevue, they really supported our ideas and our changes. And I also thought when we came up with the dogs that the production would be like, they're just making a foolish film. But they thought it was funny, and they really believed in our vision, which is, yeah, I really nice. Thank them
I
for
I think we had taken some risks before on previous films, and so they could kind of see, oh, this seems weird, but maybe it has a purpose. And so for us, we were also nervous, and it was great to have their support, not just the support of each other, but other people being like, yeah, try it, let's do it.
Even for all the post-prod, I mean, I don't know how much of it there was, and also for drones as well. I mean, was this a difficult element?
The post-production, we have different opinions. I think the post-production was normal.
Great,
took some time, and it was a way to keep inventing, and we would generate very new stuff that we hadn't shot. So, for instance, the Portugal exit fascist campaign.
Pexit.
Was something that wasn't even really happening when we started filming, and by the time we had finished shooting, Trump had been elected, Brexit had occurred or whatever. And so the post allowed us to do something that was both very, very up to the minute, but also to deal with the kind of really crass sort of stock imagery that the Brexit ads used, like the actual Brexit ads. We used very similar stock imagery. So for me, it was a very fun thing, but I think it was also... long-winded. I don't know if you...
Yeah, Daniel described like the production was a huge fiasco, a lot by our own fault as well.
Oh.
But what Daniel says is post-production was when we took the moment to gather the ashes and try to make something beautiful out of this destroyed building of our shoot.
What is the reaction you would hope to get from your ideal spectator, Gabriel?
I would want people to start by hating Dimantino. Then I would want people to start laughing at Dimantino, and by the end I want them to be crying for Dimantino.
Daniel?
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say, I wanted people to say, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, so I did both.
Yeah.
This was Gabriel Abrantes and Daniel Schmidt speaking to us of Dimantino, presented here in Cannes at the Critics Week. And this is Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.